As part of the LGBTQ series, we had the opportunity to have a conversation with a group of high school students in the community. The group called Youth Advocating for Change is a leadership initiative of Boulder County OASOS program that stands for Open and Affirming Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity Support. If you can introduce yourselves organically, the way you would like to be introduced.
My name is Adrian. I use they, them pronouns. I've been in the YAC for a year now, and I'm going to continue next year. And I'm going into my senior year at Peak to Peak Charter School in Lafayette, Colorado.
I'm Annika. I use she, her pronouns. This is my second year with the YAC, and I'm going into my third. I'm going to be a junior at Fairview High School.
Hello, I'm David Breña, and I use he, him, his pronouns. I work for OASIS with Boulder County Public Health, and I've been a facilitator for the YAC for as long as I've been in OASIS, so about 3 years and a couple months.
I'm Gigi. I use she, her, hers pronouns, and this is my first year in the YAC. I'm coming back next year, and I'm a junior year at Peak to Peak.
My name is Laurel. I use she, her, hers pronouns. This has been my first year with the YAC. I'm going into my second year next year, and I'm going into my junior year at Fairview High School.
So the first question is, what are the issues you are most concerned about right now?
For me right now, with everything that's going on, the first thing that comes into my head is mental health, because it is an issue that really affects all communities, but disproportionately affects minority communities, especially the LGBTQ plus community and the people of color, that especially in a time when we're kind of all connecting virtually, it's very hard to still maintain your mental health. And it's also something that I've struggled with and that my family struggled with, that it's been kind of at the forefront of all of my issues lately, but also kind of on the other side of that, I know that I, as someone who is not a person of color, as someone who is white, it is a privilege to not have to worry about what they're worrying about every day. So I kind of am trying to make sure that I'm balancing my mental health along with making sure that I'm educating myself and staying informed and being an active ally in their community to make sure that I'm supporting them the same way I would want them to support the LGBTQ plus community.
Annika is concerned about mental health. As for Adrian, at the forefront of their worries is the vulnerability of minority communities during the coronavirus pandemic.
Forefront of some of my things at the moment came a lot with the COVID-19 outbreak and how it's disproportionately affecting minority communities, especially the homeless population. And because we now have this stay-at-home order, but when there's no home to go to, that makes for a pretty large issue, especially when considering the sizable amount of homeless youth who are LGBTQ. When you're stuck outside, or not necessarily outside, but within a community where you don't personally have a home, it can make it really difficult to be sure you're be able to really maintain things like social distance or be able to wear a mask everywhere or things like that. It's communities that are unable to sustain that. I think that it's very disproportionately affecting them. And it's similar within disabled communities as well. I think that what definitely needs to be talked about is how these kinds of massive social changes really disproportionately affect a lot of minority communities as well.
Laurel is also concerned for the homeless LGBTQ plus youth.
And, building off what Adrian said, especially about homeless people during this time, shelters, maybe not as prominently in Boulder, but definitely especially in more conservative communities, homeless shelters are already kind of dangerous for LGBTQ plus youth and youth of color, And adding on to that, the pandemic and concerns about social distancing, shelters and kitchens and all of those things that are supposed to be resources for homeless members of our community aren't really viable resources all the time. And that leaves people even worse off than they were before. So I think that it's definitely really important that we are caring for the most vulnerable members of our community during this time.
For Gigi, the concerns are similar to Anika's: mental health, especially for the young that are stuck at home.
One of the biggest concerns I've had is regarding mental health and also safety of LGBTQ plus youth. I mean, so many youth are stuck inside with their homes with unsafe conditions and unsafe families and nowhere else to go and no escape like school. And that's been a concern on how everyone can help those people, as well as, like Anika said, how mental health is just greatly affecting everyone right now, and especially targeting the minority communities, and how people need to be more aware of how they can help and how they can help youth who aren't safe right now in conditions, and also youth who are facing mental health problems, or anyone who are facing mental health problems because of the current world conditions, and especially how those are affecting the minorities.
David Breña, youth specialist for OASOS, is concerned with how LGBTQ youth are not able to access their usual support at schools, like teachers, counselors, and classmates.
Yeah, I agree with the concern of having an environment that is not the most accepting at home for LGBTQIA youth at this time. Not being able to reach out to usual supports like teachers, counselors, classmates, and also like if parents are checking social media, then how are they able to communicate if they can't do it in person about issues that are about LGBTQIA issues? So that's definitely a concern that we as a program have. And added to that, I would say the issues that are coming up with racial justice are definitely a concern as well for our organization. Trans people of color, especially trans Black women, usually are a target of more violence. And so that is also a concern at this moment with racial justice.
For Adrian, the main issue is trans women of color in particular.
David just said bringing up especially trans, Black trans women of color, I think ties into a lot about what kind of we're all saying, because that is kind of the one group that tends to deal a fair amount with everything we've just listed. Black trans women of color tend to have higher homelessness rates and things like tend to require more mental health services. And a lot of times when trans women of color are killed, the gay and trans panic defense tends to be utilized to try and claim, like, for example, if it was a partner or somebody, you know, in a relationship with this person, that they would tend to claim, well, I didn't know. And then by the time that things were becoming intimate in perhaps a sexual way, I freaked out and I just happened to kill them. And it's a massive act of transphobia, homophobia as well. Just when you say, because this person is trans, it scared me. And so I panicked and I assaulted or I killed them.
Laurel thinks that during these times, we need to look out for the intersectionalities of vulnerable members of our community.
Yeah, I think that what we can all agree to is that during these times, I think what we're all saying is that during these times, we really need to look out for the intersectional vulnerable members of our community, because it is really difficult enough to be a person of color right now, and it's difficult enough to be an LGBTQ plus person right now. I can't even imagine what people who are facing both of those struggles are going through. And I think that it's very important that we protect our intersectional community. and that we take extra measures to look out for people in our community who are homeless, who are disabled, who are more vulnerable than the rest of us right now.
Gigi agrees with Laurel about the importance of awareness of the discrimination against people of color.
Staying completely aware and spreading awareness about the fact that people of color and that intersectionality is being targeted so much right now and has always been, and how that needs to be at the forefront, and that needs to be what we're really watching out for, like Laurel said.
As we are seeing many protests happening around the world against racism and police brutality, do you see a connection between the two movements? How did the movements start, and how do they connect or not?
So for NHD in seventh grade, I did my group documentary on the Stonewall riots, and those were in 1969 in June, the 28th. And the 29th, and it was a riot at a gay bar that cops showed up and tried to shut the bar down. They raided gay bars all the time back then, and this one turned into a riot, and it was led by people of color, trans women of color, which I think is such a huge piece of the intersectionality of the movements, is we owe a lot of our momentum as an LGBTQ plus community to people of color who also are LGBT plus. Intersectionality of movements is huge, but I also feel like comparing the two would almost be a disservice to both of them, because they are both super important movements. And what's happening right now is there was an event that sparked outrage across the country, and so people are rioting and going against it and trying to make change happen, which is what happened at Stonewall. But both of them have been fights that have been going on for years. It's just this one kind of incited a new wave of rebellion. And that is what happened at Stonewall. And that did, it is making change happen, but each of them are being supported by the other. As far as I'm concerned, you know, we have the intersectionality of the two, but also they're both marginalized communities that know what it's like to be fighting for your rights and to be protesting against these unjust laws and policies and actions across the country, that they're there to support each other. And I feel like they're interwoven in a way that, like, saying that they're two completely different movements and separating the two wouldn't be the right approach, because it kind of reminds me of when women were deciding whether to support the 15th Amendment that mm-hmm. gave African Americans the right to vote, because they weren't sure if they should support it because then they'll be next, or if they should not support it because it should be them first. But it's kind of, we have to work together to make lasting change happen.
Annika did a group documentary on the Stonewall riots, but thinks that comparing the racial justice movement with the LGBTQ movement will be a disservice to both. But for Adrian, there is a fair amount of comparison between Stonewall and the uprising of the racial justice movement.
There is a fair amount of comparison happening between Stonewall and then what's currently happening. And I think that a lot of that is coming. I think that there is some value in that, however, because I think that they should not be separated. I think that it is important that we are noting our history and how much we owe to people of color, and then noting that, and then being able to use that to help realize that, like, we as the LGBTQ community, it's our turn to help support people of color now. There is such a huge section that is incredibly intersectional within us. While it is important to make, to remember that they are two movements fighting for similar things, however, they're still, you know, two movements. One of the things that's really important to remember is that a lot of times we're using this comparison because it can help a lot of LGBTQ plus people realize the importance of standing up for people of color now, because people of color stood up for us then. There's this big conversation about how a lot of minority groups will say, like, well, I'm gay, I can't be racist. But yes, you can, because you're gay, but you're also white. Like, that does, those are not at all related. Helping relate our history as LGBTQ plus people to the current movement can really help those kinds of individuals recognize prejudice and bias and how it's kind of time to pay it forward.
Gigi says that both movements are interwoven and that people of color truly led the gay rights movement.
Change happens best when people work together. So obviously it's really important to remember, like Annika said, that how interwoven both movements are and the intersectionality of both movements. However, at the same time, it's really important that by having conversations about how they are connected, not overshadowing the struggles that the Black Lives Matter movement is working for right now, and how important this movement is right now, and how that needs to be the spotlight. Like I said, like the intersectionality and remembering that people of color truly led a lot of the gay rights movement. However, at the same time, like just really separating them while also considering that they have parts that are interwoven and parts that need to be talked about together.
Laurel says that it is important to draw inspiration from Stonewall.
I think that the most important thing about Stonewall is that Pride didn't end with it. And I think that there are a lot of people who right now are thinking that the whole Black Lives Matter movement is going to blow over and it's going to end and things are just going to go back to the way that they used to be. And I am really hoping that that's incorrect, because I do think that this movement has a lot of momentum and it will continue with that momentum. So I think that it's important to look back at events such as Stonewall and say, hey, we did it then, we can do it again.
David says that it is important to make a connection between Stonewall and the current protest, and to also recognize that there is an anti-Blackness in the Latino community.
Just to add to what everyone said, of the importance of making the connection between Stonewall and the current riots, I think it's definitely important. And also making the distinction that these are folks that, or different identities that people have different struggles. So for myself, as a person of color that is also part of the LGBTQIA community, I also cannot equate my struggles with someone that is a Black person or someone that is a Black queer and trans Black person. Like the issues that I deal with are different. And so I think it's important to recognize the distinction so that we can also recognize our own privileges. Being that I'm also a light-skinned Latinx person, like I think even within our community, there's a lot of stuff that we need to work on in terms of anti-Blackness that is so pervasive in our community. I think it's something that we need to be able to compare, but also make sure that we are continuing to check our privileges.
For Adrian, Pride is not cancel. It is bigger than it ever was.
One other thing that I wanted to add real fast is also a lot of people are now saying, like, it's June, right? So it's Pride Month because this is when Stonewall was. And a lot of people are now talking about, like, oh, Pride's canceled because of COVID-19. And it's one of those things where Pride is not canceled. Like, we are not canceling being proud of our identities. And just because one little party is canceled doesn't mean the entire month is. And it doesn't mean that we, at this time, it's our turn to say, we're not canceling Pride. It's just focusing on a different group that's not us this year. And this year, this is like Pride right now. We're watching all of these protests go on. And this is exactly what Pride is. This is exactly what Stonewall wanted. Like, what's happening right now was the goal all along. And I think that, like, that's something to notice is Pride hasn't been canceled this year. It's worldwide and bigger than it's ever been before.
Thank you so much. I feel so inspired. Last question. How can your resistance as a group continue at this moment in time?
Contact your representatives. Like what Laurel and what Laurel brought up earlier, as well as Annika, there's the whole thing of like trying to get rid of the gay and trans panic defense. And that's something within our community that we should be aware of. And that's something you should do, is contact state, local representatives and say, hey, this is a bill that's being introduced and I want you to support it because I live in your area and your job is to represent me. So represent me and prove that this is unnecessary and incredibly hateful.
Adrian suggests making calls to contact local representatives. Laurel thinks that we should look out for the most vulnerable members of our community.
I think that right now it's very important to, as I said earlier, look out for the most vulnerable members of our community, because we are only as strong as our weakest link. And going to protests and contacting your representatives and all of those things are really amazing things that help large scale change. But it's important to remember that all of this large scale change can't happen without small scale change. So make sure to be helping change in your family, in your friends, in your closest communities by making sure the people around you are educated and making sure you have these conversations with your family and your friends. These are the most difficult conversations sometimes because it's with your loved ones. And also check in on the people around you. This is a very difficult time for all of us. And I promise you that somebody on your block is probably struggling for food right now. You know, I live in a less wealthy part of Boulder. So for this whole time, I've been doing food drives and reaching out to my neighbors and trying to make sure that the people around me are as comfortable as they can be during this time, because you need the people to make change. And if the people are unable to get out and to fight for what they believe in because they're starving or they're struggling to pay their rent or they're struggling with all of these things, then it's going to be a lot more difficult for change to happen. So I think the advice that I would give to anybody who's looking to make a change is that it is amazing to do all these large scale things, but if you're looking for something smaller that you can do, just reach out to somebody. If you can help one person, then that's better than nothing.
Well, Gigi is concerned with the need to stay connected, especially for the LGBTQ plus community. Annika goes back again to mental health, especially with young people that do not have the support of their family and are now kept away from the school support resources.
I think, like Laurel said, staying connected with people. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, safety and mental health, especially regarding youth in the LGBTQ plus community, is extremely important. And right now we don't have school, the counselors, GSAs, anything that might have been that support. So reaching out to maybe some people you know who you might not talk to can make a difference for them, and making sure that they know where the resources are, like helplines and different online communities, I think is extremely important to, like Laurel said, making the small scale change that is really important right now.
Yeah, I said this earlier, Gigi said this earlier, the mental health thing. There are so many LGBTQ plus kids at home with unaccepting families and that are struggling with that kind of thing. And I have the privilege of my parents being able to pay for me to see a therapist online once a week. And there are plenty of people that don't have that privilege and don't have that resource. that I feel like making sure that people are checking in on people and making sure they're doing okay. And I really want to make wide scale change. I want to make things change on a systematic level that can work towards equality for everybody. But also, I'm aware of the fact, and I'm okay with, if I can help one person, and I want to be able to help as many people as I can, but sometimes helping one person is enough. And so I called my representatives, I called a couple of them about the gay and trans panic defense, and I signed petitions, and I thought about going. I didn't actually go to one of the protests, but I thought about it. And also making sure that people who are stuck at home, who are dealing with all of this, who may be overwhelmed by what's going on right now, are doing okay, and just checking in on them.
David, the youth facilitator specialist of the Youth Advocating for Change, reflects on the work of the members that are addressing issues of harassment and continue being a voice for marginalized communities.
Specifically regarding to bullying and harassment of minority communities. In the past, they've done presentations to teachers so they can, on some tools that youth would like them to use to address these issues, or they're working right now with the district, talking with them about training on harassment. And so, just to continue to be a voice for marginalized communities is really important at this point.
Laurel reminds us that it is important to take care of yourself.
And, you know, building off what I said earlier about if you can help just one person, that's great. It's okay if that person is yourself too. We don't all have the mental space to be a warrior right now, and that's completely okay. It's important to remember that if you can keep yourself educated and keep yourself sane during these times, that is an achievement in and of itself. So it's just important to do whatever you can, even if what you can do isn't something huge. It's important to remember that everybody can make a change. And if that change is just going online and reading an article, educating yourself, stepping back and taking a break, looking in on yourself and confronting your own personal biases, that is just as important of a change as anything else that you can do in your community.
Adrian reminds us that caring about people of color and the LGBTQ community should not be made into a political act, and that it is human to care for one another.
I think a lot of us tend to forget is that, like, caring about one another is not a political act. Like, caring about people of color and caring about the LGBTQ community and caring about disabled people and homeless people and every other marginalized identity, that's not political to care about another human being. It is what is human is to care about other human beings. We are social animals. It is our job to look out for one another and to care for one another. So saying that I'm here to support people of color as well as people in my own community as part of the LGBTQ community doesn't, I don't think, should be made into a political act, because it's just kind of my job as a person is to watch out for the other people around me.
This has been an informal conversation with the group Youth Advocating for Change from the Boulder County Health Department. For the Trends Podcast, I am Rosana Longo.